Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Framer, joined in the Soul Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Doing very well, Joshy.
Bobby, we didn't know what the reaction would be from Addy being back in the Soul Shack together for the first time in, I mean, 5 or 6 weeks, but we figured it would be something like that.
Yeah, it's getting a little more witchy.
Yeah.
Oh, Halloween coming up. Oh, Bobo.
It's like months away.
It's literally August 1st.
Yeah, but it's coming up.
Adam's already put his Halloween decorations out.
Yeah, Adam's a big Halloween guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I love the spooky season.
We famously have had multiple spooky season segments on this show before.
My son is. He's a big guy. He's a big Halloween guy.
Big Halloween. I feel like kids, that's kind of their thing, right? Because you get to dress up as your favorite superhero and get lots of candy.
Yeah, he's on a dark path. He's got a really dark mind.
He's got the, like, emo haircut.
Sure.
Like, dark eye paint.
Listening to Blink-182.
Just doing art.
I drove down the Campbell Lane today, and I thought about the segment when you crow hopping trying to get ball to Chick-fil-A.
You think you could do it?
No, I think it would take you two long golf ball hits.
I've got to remember to do this next time I play golf. I want to throw a hole, like where I throw a golf ball and see
your arm will be gone.
That's what I figure, but I wonder where I can shoot on like a 300-yard par four or something like that.
He's gonna be in a sling next time we 100%. See him after he does this.
I meant to do it last time, we forgot.
Well, we talked about this on one of the episodes, the all sports golf that Dude Perfect does, where you use like a baseball bat and like one of those foxtails and like multiple types of balls and kind of equipment to get to the hole. That would interest me. That would be fun. Now just throwing it to the hole.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, it'd get old pretty
quick. I think I'd have to ice the shoulder probably on the next hole.
Always a family.
That'd be rough.
Lots of balls are involved.
Yeah, more balls the better.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of balls, boys, the balls they are flying at training camps across the country as football is back. The pads went on today. I think camp resumed last week officially. There was a ramp up period. Now the pads went on. The teams are hitting. I think we have the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
This week, right?
Next weekend, I think.
Okay, Jags, Raiders. Johnny the Greek was talking about, he was looking at our lads to see which team had the better backup so he could bet on the game.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, I'm not to that level of degen yet, but respect. Mm-hmm. That,
it's just because it's not legal here. I'd be in the same stuff.
Yeah, you have to go down, sneak across the Tennessee state line and jump on DraftKings to get you some bets in.
I will be doing that.
I know you will.
Yeah. I need to get down there.
Yeah. Need to take care of that.
Sure.
I drop packs off at daycare. Just go about two minutes more down the road and place a couple bets.
He's already at Kenny.
Sure.
There you go. Sure. Thank you, Kenny. More ways than one.
Sure. Yeah.
Does any of that course go into Tennessee at all?
Yeah, we're probably close.
We go to Legacy for that sometimes. That's in Tennessee.
Yeah.
There you go. Golf talk.
Sure.
If you had that on your IDP show bingo card, congratulations. You get to cross that one off.
That's a mainstay these days.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I had a really weird situation on the golf course last time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I told you about it, Bob.
Did you murder somebody?
Some kid.
You about did.
I did. I wanted to. This kid wanted to. He was a worker there. It was very slow. It was just me and Sam on the course. The only two people on the course.
Park Mammoth. Okay.
Worker, like a 16-year-old kid.
Okay.
Didn't tell me he was working at the course.
He was working at the course.
Wanted you to get him some beer.
He wanted to play with us. He wanted to. We were on hole 9. And he wanted to play the rest of the round with us. And I was like, no, just play through, man. Just play through. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad about it.
I just thought maybe, like, I don't know, just play with you guys.
I'm 100% the same way to where it's like, no, that's probably not going to work. Like, you go enjoy your round. Like, we're going to be slow.
Also, like, this kid's like, he's a kid. Yeah. He's like 16, 17. You know what I mean? It's like,
got beer?
Yeah, we also were drinking.
I love beer.
Betting a little bit. It's just like, man.
Yeah.
you know,
not we're not trying deal. To have some kid we don't know like come in and harsh our vibe here.
He run my he ruined my mental game though, because he did play. He did go ahead and play through us through on us, but you know, it was just I got to see him every single hole and think about like, oh, I feel almost bad that I maybe embarrass this little high school kid.
Yeah, that's okay. We all got to be put in our
place.
But
he's got to learn. He's got. I mean, don't do that.
Yeah, bro. Learn some golf course etiquette.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, it's a that's a sacred time. Also, like, bro, I got kids. Like, that's the time that like I don't want to have to entertain.
Yeah, you're too close to my kids' age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, too I'm not close. Here to relax, bro. I'm not out here to entertain anyone else.
Just Sam. Just here to entertain Sam.
You take Sam,
and vice versa.
You take him to the cleaners.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, sure. I was just in my head after that. I was feeling bad.
Yeah, 9 too. You got a lot of holes to play.
And I really only did it because I was playing with Sam, and Sam's a head case on the course. Yeah. He didn't like people behind him and stuff. Yeah. So
he's
really,
a head case.
I was just trying to
listen to him. Sam, make Sam the bad guy just here.
Get thrown under the bus tonight.
Yeah, it was Sam. Sam wanted him gone.
Yeah, Sam's an all around bad guy. I think the listeners have sensed that.
He's got a bad. He's a bad.
Sure,
seat.
He won't be back.
Man, no, and that won't. Sucks because 9's a good hole you want to play. You know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, the back 9 was is a great time, but yeah, then I was just. Just felt bad.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have felt bad, but you know, the kid put me in that situation, man. Just I hated it.
Yeah
he
was probably a really good guy.
That might have been the whole year. You might have had the round of your life.
I guarantee he was the worst. There's no 16 17 year old kid. Nah. That boy, that is their worst version of themselves.
That's true.
That's a pig right there.
It's you kind of flatten out, like, as the quality of your human existence, it really bottoms out at like 16 or 17 as a adult male.
Yeah.
That's not a good time.
And you're pretty much a piece until about 22.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of you bottom out. Some people just stay in that bottom
for a while.
That soggy bottom area.
Yeah.
Some people come out, some people don't.
Soggy bottom boys.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and play that drop.
Of you?
Of the soggy bottom boys.
Oh, that means. Yeah, we have permission to play their music. Why not? Well, let's talk about some news, boys. There is training camp buzz happening. We famously had the segment a couple years ago, Yes and BS on Training Camp Buzz. We're not doing that tonight, but we are going to hit some of the news because there has been some stuff starting to leak out. I think some ADPs are going to start getting affected as we get into draft season. But let's start in Seattle with a story that we touched on last episode, an update since we last came at you all. Jamal Adams, turns out, broke his finger during practice. This is the same one he's dislocated multiple times. But as we suggested, you're welcome from the IDP show for this suggestion. He'll wear a specialized cast during games and have surgery next offseason.
Got it caught in a helmet.
Yeah,
that would hurt.
Yeah, that would really, I think I would just retire at that exact moment.
So I broke my pinky in high school, my glove hand playing baseball. And when I...
How'd you do it?
Playing football, my pinky held on to a guy's shirt when I was like running a route or something, and it turned it just sideways.
Ooh-wee! Makes me want to barf.
So I had to put it...
That makes your butthole get real tight.
I stuffed it down deep in the crotch, got in the old F... What'd I have then? I think I had a Silverado. Go straight to the emergency room.
You're yelling.
That's what he said when it happened.
That was a good one. I was just pissed because it was right before baseball season. But
so it put you out for the year?
Dude, it still hurts. Like when a good storm comes through.
Sure.
Isn't that funny? It hurts when it rains.
I've got two things that hurt. So my
your pinky, heart.
My pinky will hurt.
That's a perma heart.
My heart always hurts. My ankle will hurt too because I broke my fibula.
I remember you talking
in college.
About that. Yeah,
got a big rod in there. But the thing that hurts the most
ain't the only big rod you got in there.
The thing that hurts the most is what I call my V-dub finger. So back years ago, I was helping a boy, a buddy of mine, John Lynn, put a new canvas in his Volkswagen van. And it's a pop top. It's got like this sleeping tent and everything. Well, I used a stapler to staple this canvas through my finger.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
part of the metal is like still in my middle finger, my knuckle. So jeez. Like when I text him every once in a while, I'll be like, man, my V-dub finger is hurting today.
Wow.
It's going to rain.
I still have pencil lead in my pinky, my left pinky from first grade.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to get a kid to sit on a pencil and had my pinky underneath it, that's and cool. The pencil went straight into my finger. That's cool. Still there.
You were trying to get him to sit on it?
Yeah.
That's
I was
what
like,
you get.
Yeah, it was an instant karma moment. This was before Twitter and instant karma, but that was a classic example.
Everyone has had that experience jamming pencil lead into their hand.
Dude, yeah. Listen to this fun game we used to play when I was younger. So when we were younger, the garage doors didn't have the lasers.
The sensor.
So it was just like a free-for-all. So me and a buddy of mine would go get my mom's garage controller, and we would go back so far, and the game was run in, touch the back wall, and still make it out in time. So we would get so close.
How did you not lose like friends?
We would get so close at the end, people were just sliding through. And I remember vividly sliding through one time and making it and watching it pin my buddy's head to the concrete.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we had his funeral later that week.
It was so
rest
awesome.
In peace, Tim.
What a fun game, man. Shout out, David. Love you, David.
You do some really dumb, like, it's amazing some of the dumb stuff we did as children.
That's why they have lasers on them now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That kid right there.
Oh, good times.
All right, so Jamal Adams, going to wear the specialized cast, got the broken finger. Best of luck, Blitz Boy, making those tackles and those sacks with the cast on your hand. This next piece of news, gentlemen, we're going to hit on some ADP from our IDP-only best ball leagues here in the back half of the episode, and we're going to talk about this player as someone that is being overdrafted because Ron Rivera said Chase Young could miss a little bit of time during the season. Bobo, this feels like one of those situations where they're being very optimistic and tiptoeing around what could end up being a 4 to 6 to 8 week type of absence.
You know, this is something to where I listen to the ballers for my offensive stuff. I don't really listen to a whole lot of other people because A, we all have children and don't have time. And B, I just kind of want like a brief summation of the offensive news. But a lot of the times, if they're doing mocks, they're talking about, you know, players that they like. They stay away from a ton of these types of guys that could have a suspension coming up or, you know, people that have ACLs late in the season. I don't know. Chase Young is just not somebody right now, especially in redraft, that I'm putting any type of hope in for 2022. I don't know how y'all feel about him in Dynasty right now. I think the persona in here in the room is pretty negative, but I don't know. With everything that I've seen coming out of camp about Montez Sweat living in the backfield, there's a ton of good buzz right now for Montez Sweat. Dude, please don't draft Chase Young high this year.
This doesn't affect my dynasty outlook for Chase Young as much as it does redraft, which is what these best ball leagues we're going to talk about are. And I don't think these drafts concluded before this piece of news came out, but we also knew Chase Young was dealing with an ACL tear that he suffered in week 10 and that missing some time was a distinct possibility. So to have that confirmed now, this should not come as a huge shock to anyone. We should have always been operating with the mindset that Chase Young could miss some time. How much time? We'll see.
Yeah.
Now, two players that have been getting some buzz. One, we expect to have a big rookie season. The other, we expect to have a big delayed rookie season because he missed all of last year. But Dan Campbell said that Aiden Hutchinson has popped so far at camp, and then listening to the Athletic Football Show today with the Cowboys beat writer, he said the Cowboys have high hopes for Jabril Cox and that he could overtake LVE for that LB2 job in Dallas. So, boys, no surprise on Aiden Hutchinson, even though you love to hear the positive buzz from Dan Campbell. But that Jabril Cox note made my ears perk up a little bit because we had the buzz last year. He got injured, missed the entire season. So it's a bit of a post-hype sleeper situation with Cox.
Torn Achilles or torn ACL?
I'd have to look it up. I thought it was an ACL. Because if it's an Achilles, that changes my outlook a little bit. But
either way, it wasn't an Achilles.
They said he's been
It's ACL.
So he's been healthy. He looks great. And the team, the top brass, the coach, I think they want him to step into that LB2 spot. So when they kick Micah Parsons out to defensive end, who is it on the field there at linebacker? It's Jabril Cox instead of LVE.
Yeah. I mean, either way, yeah, I think that depth chart isn't too deep. And, yeah, you're right. Micah Parsons is going to be on the edge, I'd say, a decent amount. So, yeah, I think that he could have value either way. But I'm just hesitant to project him for more than 65% of the snaps, right?
Yeah, it's not something where I'm necessarily tripping over myself to get LVE or Jabril Cox, but if you've been taking LVE late in drafts, you may want to think about...
They're both good values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're both fine values. Someone's gonna eat there, I would think.
And Jabril Cox, I got him on waivers this week in a bunch of places. I mean, you're not going to have to give anything for him. He's just a late dart throw.
Yep.
Yes, he was an ACL last year. He was a fourth-round draft pick. So fourth-round draft picks to me are not nothing, you know? They're not a second, not a third, but it's notable. It's something just kind of put a pin in.
Yeah.
Don't make too much of it right now, but don't forget about it during the season.
I will say, I'm probably drafting LVE if I'm in a league where I can make waivers and make trades and make pickups. In a best ball league, I'm probably going to take Jabril Cox and bank on the possibility late in my draft that maybe I can grab the LB2 that you could get probably in the last round. I mean, you could grab this guy round 26, 27. I mean, we do some of these late drafts that go into the 30th round plus, and I don't think this guy's going to cost you anything.
I don't really remember much about Jabril Cox coming out of college. I'm trying to pull up his
I think they said he transferred
right
from Alabama to LSU. North Dakota State. Mm. Was it LSU?
LSU.
Okay. Yeah. So, Cowboys have high hopes for Jabril Cox. We, as IDP managers, have high hopes for Nick Cross. And the buzz has been very positive. The Athletic saying that he has looked like a day one starter from the very beginning. Boys, I'm starting to get on the Nick Cross train. Are y'all coming with me?
I think so. I mean, what else they got there?
I mean, I don't think Blackman or Rodney McLeod are going to be in line for that job. Yeah. I think it's going to end up being Cross and Julian Blackman.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine there. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay taking him in drafts. But the problem is, I mean, is he going to have a ADP of like defensive back 20 to 25 now?
Well, we'll talk about
shooting up there.
We'll talk about where he is at the current moment, and it is at least for right now still a value compared to where he could end up. I mean, spoiler alert, DB 66 across the six best ball drafts that we've done.
That's still really good.
But a lot of those, yeah. I think two or three of those, so probably half, happened before the Kari Willis retirement.
Looks like the latest one, he was DB 40, though. So that's still a really
good value. That was my pick, and that was me knowing full well he has the best crack at this job.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's probably going to creep up into the 20 to 30 range.
Yeah, so I think if it gets into like the high 30s back into the 20s, I'm probably not interested.
Yeah.
But boy, if you can get a possible DB2 in the 40s, I'll sign up for that all day.
You know, something y'all said too last week made me really think about it is like we talk about ADP and we talk about a lot of, you know, values and, you know, reaches and stretches like we'll talk about here later on. But man, if Nick Cross makes you happy, go get him.
That's right.
You know, like, who freaking cares? This is your team. You're going to watch the Colts religiously for the next 4 months. And you know, there's times where you're just like, man, I know Ernest Jones is a overpay right now, but I really don't care. I just want to root for the guy.
Don't be afraid to have fun with fantasy,
dude, that's
folks.
All this
if
is.
If he breaks out, you want him.
Exactly.
You want to plant your flag on that guy and get to dance in the end zone when he pans out.
I mean, we've all won fantasy football championships in here among, you know, various leagues throughout the years. And that's all fun. But, dude, watching your guys play football on a Sunday is like, dude, that's the best. That's the best.
Well, let's talk about what is shaping up to be one of Adam's dudes for this offseason. Let's hit some injury news. Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's Frank Clark.
I put a tweet out not too long ago.
Frank Clark has vowed to regain his top form.
Yeah.
Cut out booze and red meat.
About a month or so ago, I put out a tweet saying you can do a lot worse than this guy.
I think you retweeted the like a workout video of him as well.
That's
showing
right.
that he's working. You know, I think he has even admitted.
He looks like he's in good shape. He looks lean. He looks leaner than he has in a long time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for him.
Yeah. So he's on the up and up. I wanted to mention as well, Eric Armstead sprained his MCL. So you've got Frank's on the come up. I think you should be taking him higher than DL 79 right now, which is where he's going, average draft position, across these six best balls that we've done. And the beautiful part about these best balls that we're going to talk about later in the episode, they're IDP only. Mm-hmm. So there's no fading IDP. This is a pure distillation of how these individual defensive players are viewed. So Frank Clark, will he regain that form? Addy seems to think so, Bobbo.
Frank Clark does seem to be the type of guy who's like, you know, he's 29 years old, and he kind of disappears for a year or so, and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to have a little resurgence right here at age 30. You know, there's a lot of guys in the league who have been that way, but that's a fun line now. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, now they're going to have...
Carlos Dunlap.
I almost said Carl Lawson. Yes, Carlos Dunlap they'll have
George
as well.
George Karloftis, which kind of sounds like Carl Lawson.
Yeah. I've heard good things about Willie Gay and Nick Bolton in camp, and even Leo Chennault. I think, man, that defense could be fun this year. Justin Reed's back there, had a couple picks in camp.
Not to mention the cornerback they drafted as well.
McDuffie.
Yeah, Trent McDuffie.
That could be a fun team, man. That could be a fun team. It's going to be interesting to see.
Justin Reed?
Yeah, offensive side of the ball as well is going to be fun. I mean, it's a whole new cast of characters there in Kansas City.
That team's actually, gone through quite a bit of turnover this offseason.
As long as Mahomes and Andy Reid are there, though, like, I don't know, they'll be fine.
You're good for 9 to 10 wins with those two.
Until Mahomes has his baby? That's the issue for me.
Oh, boy.
Do they already have it?
I don't think so, no. No.
Isn't she pregnant?
I thought he did. I thought he had a little girl, maybe. I
thought she was.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
I feel like if once he taps into dad strength, he's going to be throwing it 100 yards off his back foot.
Last I saw her, she was... soaking the Kansas City crowd.
Exactly.
A little bit of Andre.
She was doing something horrific on social media.
She
I'm
got
sure.
him locked up.
Y'all ever had any Andre? You have that bottom Andre? It's like champagne.
I've never celebrated anything.
That's a beautiful way to say that you've never drank champagne before. And that's true, folks. He's never celebrated a thing in his life.
That's right. I never will.
Let's talk about some linebacker news from the NFC North. Nicholas Morrow has been calling plays with Roquan Smith holding in. So if you were wondering what happens if Roquan wraps his Lamborghini around another light pole with hookers and cocaine in the car, as he's done in the past,
he's celebrating.
Nicholas Morrow.
That's why they don't want to pay him.
That's right. They know that.
You did it for strippers and whatever else. Druggies.
And snorting the white powder. So if you're wondering, when Roquan is doing pills with Jim Irsay, who's going to be manning the green dot for Chicago, it will be Nicholas Morrow. And
trade Darius Leonard for Roquan straight up? Not in Dynasty, for the Colts.
Oh, for the Colts?
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't do that?
Darius means too much to that team.
I think Darius is way better as a player, too.
Yeah, he's great. In Dynasty,
I still want Leonard, I think. Well, I do have him ranked probably higher.
The injury stuff with Darius is starting to worry me. Because it's like, Shaquille.
Shaquille. That's annoying. I don't like that.
Shaq Barrett.
Shaq
Lawson.
Too many Shaqs. There weren't a whole lot of Dariuses that were relevant for IDP. So
did you say relevant?
Relevant, yes, I did. Jet lag, boys, is still a thing. Let's talk about Green Bay.
I'm going to call them all out.
Two pieces of Green Bay news here. Shout out Kyle Bellyfuel. He had his
happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, birthday this weekend.
Sir, his buddy got a hole in one, but not Kyle.
I was going to say, can't let Kyle get in on the hole in one.
Pretty messed up of your buddy. We would never do that to you, Kyle.
We'd let you have all the holes in one that you want, Kyle.
Every hole you want.
Come on down to BG.
Yes, sir.
But can you imagine? We would never see Kyle. He'd be on the golf course 24 hours a day.
Kyle would love it down
here. You'd see plenty of him. I wouldn't see him a bit.
He calls wife, hey, pack it up.
We're coming down to BG.
We're moving south.
Yep. We're going to live in the shack until we find our own place.
I want everyone to move down here.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on down. We'll just make it the Mecca.
Little commune.
That's right. Little IDP
commune. Get everyone to come down here. We'll never have to get on Twitter ever again.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Never have to go to the expo.
That's a plus.
Just do our own thing.
Be fantastic. Boys going?
Can't wait. I'm gonna go there and do the Nick Swartzen t-shirt cannon where he talks about bringing it out. He's like, "Who wants a t-shirt?" And then he turns it on himself and blows his head off.
Anytime I hear the word expo, I just think about Vlad Guerrero. That's all of my mind goes.
Boy, what a great! He was one of my favorite players.
Was he on roids? Probably.
No,
right?
No.
I don't think so. He always was like a Ken Griffey Jr. type. Like
he wasn't that like McGuire time frame though.
He was in that frame. Yeah, okay. A little bit after McGuire.
I just assumed
and Sosa.
That all of them did.
He was all natural, baby. No batting gloves. I swear he hit a home run off a ball that bounced one time coming in.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Right? Like hit it off his like shoe tops.
Did his
like
boy cricket. Turn out to be anything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was a baller.
Son's
was
a great he? Player. Hmm. One of the best.
Love baseball.
Baseball's sure. great. America's game. Block. All right, Green Bay news. Ooh. Shout out Kyle Bellyfuel.
Happy don't fall. Far from the tree.
Green Bay is starting two inside linebackers in the majority of their sets, and it is Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker. Then, to no one's surprise, Rashawn Gary has been one of the standouts in camp and has taken his leadership to an entirely new level in 2022.
Hey, who you going to call?
Scheme Busters.
Hey, straight. Take a lap, man. Take a lap.
Take a lap on this August 1st training
Give
camp.
Give him a
news.
Lap.
Too humble.
Dude, who? I mean, Quay Walker is good.
Duh.
They're going to play two linebacker sets.
But Bobby, they've only done one linebacker for the last 3 years.
The face was better than that.
I wish we could have seen the face, folks. It was...
That upper lip was really protruding.
It was like Donald Duck receiving fellatio. It was absolutely...
They've had such talent there! Chris Barnes! Blake Martinez!
That was a good one.
Well, I want the... I don't know. I don't know how to describe this character. Mm-hmm.
We're workshopping right now.
Yeah. We're going to call him Crazy Disney Channel fan.
Kind of like a bit of a duck, I feel like.
Yeah. It's the guy that does energy. The Affleck duck.
We call him Donald.
Who does the Affleck duck voice?
Yeah, there's
in there. That angry guy. Sure. That's what that guy was.
Sure.
So, Rashawn Gary, Devondre Campbell, Quay Walker. We love this Green Bay defense. Bobby, you love Odafe Owe.
Sure.
Has been a terror coming off the edge in the Ravens' first padded practices.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have to.
Big things from Odafe Owe this season.
Who was the vet they brought in? Justin Houston?
They brought in a vet, and I think it was Houston. Calais Campbell's back, right, as
yes,
well?
Yes, Campbell stayed. They still have Madge Bouquet. Shout out Nate Tice
That's
on
right.
the inside.
Best friend.
Can't wait to see at the combine.
Yeah, he's back with the Ravens. Justin Houston is.
I like Owe still. I mean, like Rashawn Gary still. These are all names that we've been banging for a long time. You know, I'm starting to kind of think, too. I don't know if y'all are getting to this point. I'm starting to think about my flag plants for the year.
Yes, sir.
Starting to kind of kind of hone in on them.
I got about 20 of them.
Oh, do you?
He has the little mini flags, right, that you put out when you're, like, laying talking, underground fence.
We talking about a golf course, or what kind of flags we
18
talking?
Flags.
Sure. So just I got so 20, so just two of them.
Just two. All right, speaking of defensive linemen that we're hoping for big things from, Ed Oliver is looking unblockable in practice. Would have had 3 to 4 sacks on Monday. He also said that him and Von Miller, they aren't just best friends. They're like brothers.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's how big for not just Rousseau and the edge guys, but, I mean, guys like Ed Oliver, who was really starting to come on last year. What, I think this is his fourth year, and he's never really lived up to that hype.
Not
you know,
quite.
But,
not that first-round pedigree.
But, I mean, it's there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if it, you know, if... With him having help now, him continuing to develop and everything, I mean, he's going to be one of the more dominant interior guys in the league, I think. So mm-hmm.
They mentioned
I could definitely
this
see a breakout.
On Saturday, I had the Welcome Back Saturday training camp coverage on NFL Network while we were doing our All-22 draft. Next week, we're going to do special episode talking about our draft strategies with the guys from All-22, so check that out. But they were talking to Von Miller at Bills camp, and I just forget. Von Miller has the edge rusher camp.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like George Kittle has the tight end camp.
Max Crosby was last year.
Right? So it's like this is not only a dominant player, but Bobby, like the guru for what he does in the NFL. People, professional players at his same position come seek him out at this camp to learn from this guy.
It makes me think a lot about what I've seen on Rams Twitter about Ernest Jones just being like, dude, what a blessing it's been talking to Bobby Wagner every single day. You know, like people don't really realize this, and this is probably not something we talk about in you know, fantasy in general, is how much these dudes have to be learning from these vets, regardless of whatever position it is, offensive line, kickers, whatever. You're going to learn from people who have done it for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years and done it at a high level. I mean, Von Miller was great last year for the Rams. The teams that are good in the NFL are just getting better. The Bills are going to be tough to beat this year.
That Bills team is nasty, boys.
That was definitely part of his contract, though. I mean, mentoring and being like coach and stuff.
Right, and they keep asking, why Buffalo? Why Buffalo? And it's like, bro, the did weather. You see how much money they paid me?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to say,
right? They're a top four team.
Yeah,
and
I can win another Super Bowl. Yeah, I can win another Super Bowl ring, and they gave me like a $120 million contract.
Yeah, and I mean, if you win one there for Buffalo, you're a legend.
You're a legend. They'll build a statue of you out in the parking lot.
He's had one in Denver, L.A., and if he gets another one, that's pretty special.
He was already...
Oh, he's easy, the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame easy, but God, you get a third ring, especially in Buffalo.
Is he the best of our generation behind... Aaron Donald.
J.J. Watt.
Mm. I don't know, man. Von Miller's pretty underrated.
Yeah. Chandler Jones needs to be in that discussion as well.
It's Chandler Jones and Von Miller both. They're like the active leaders in sacks. Mm-hmm. J.J. Watt was trending that way, but just the health.
The injuries, yeah. That's true.
Von Miller's been pretty rock solid. He did have, I think, a few injury years.
But yeah.
He's going to continue to go for another 3-4 years,
right? I think so, yeah.
And probably pile up another 30 to 40 sacks.
Probably.
But yes, of our generation, I think most of probably Von Miller and probably AD. I think J.J. Watt gets a big bump because of all like the extracurricular like stuff he's done in Houston and like, you know, help with the hurricane is what they had a while back.
The hurricane down there.
But a dude is...
Sounds about what?
Is T.J. Watt on that trajectory as well? I mean, yeah. I hate to clamor about the dude.
No, he's awesome. He's awesome if he continues to put up, 20 sacks.
I was going to say, if these trends continue, he'll finish his career with 1,000 sacks.
Because we were kind of post New York Giants dude with the gap in his teeth, Michael Strahan. Sorry, I was like, this is my mental process.
Giant gapper.
I was trying to get there for you.
Yeah, Bob looks at everyone's imperfections.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I love that gap.
Old crooked nose hosting the show.
Old bug eyes over there. Oh, stinky lips.
Stinky lips. Oh, Lord. All right. Let's get through the rest of this news here so I can go smoke a cigarette. So David Ajabo, folks, remains the only rookie pick unsigned, as himself and the Ravens are still at odds over the amount of guaranteed money in the third year of his rookie deal. Shout out David Ajabo for having... no leverage. Achilles injury. You're not going to be a factor this season at all. But just saying, you know what? No, you are going to make sure. And I get it. The third year of the rookie contract, he probably wants some of that money bumped out into the future since this year's kind of a wash. But, man, just get that deal signed. Get some money in your pocket as a kid coming from college, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird look.
It's weird, right? It'd be one thing if you're like the second overall pick or something, but for him to be the last unsigned rookie is kind of odd.
Like, yeah, bro, we probably did you a favor. I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to work out really well there for Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
It always does.
Tremendous value, but I mean, like, a lot of teams were clearly scared, I mean, to secure someone in the second round. Like, that's a nice investment from Baltimore. Like, showing faith in you, like...
Yeah.
Just get something
and
done.
And these rookie contracts are sort of a formality because in the new collective bargaining agreement, the amounts of these contracts, pretty well set.
Yeah, again, I don't know what we're
squabbling. You have a little over. Wiggle room,
could
but...
Could be easily talking out of turn here. I don't know what type of money we're talking. Like, he could be getting, you know, he could be missing out on like $5 to $10 million. If that's the case, sure, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that much.
But if it's like $1 million, like, figure it out, bro.
Yeah, come on, man. Get... And I think maybe, too, it has something to do
just
with...
Just $1 million.
Yeah, like, just figure it out, David.
Come on.
Come on, David.
It's your first mill.
Yeah, so the Falcons need to figure it out as well here, this last bit of news, gentlemen. They have failed in their attempts to this point to trade linebacker Deion Jones, but have decided not to cut him, believing he won't be a distraction to the team and salary cap savings are minimal. The team continues to monitor his attitude. I love his attitude and rehab from shoulder surgery. So
it's like quite a mess there in Atlanta.
It really is.
You know, like what are you doing? Who are you feeling confident in there?
Even if the cap savings is minimum, why are you going to have a progress stopper for your guys like Troy Anderson,
your young
Michael
team.
Walker?
Yeah. Rashawn Evans.
Get this guy out the door and let's... If you need some veteran competency, you've got Rashawn Evans. I mean, he's there.
Nick Quick's
there. Like, what are we doing with Deion Jones, man?
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if he was healthy and there and, you know, making things happen.
I wish it for Deion Jones. I wish Deion Jones was out of there just to not have to deal, because, I mean,
him being there
needs a restart.
Is not good for him, and it's not good for all these like little dart throws that we have on the Falcons linebacking core either.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. It's time. It's time. We've done enough. We've done too many years of this, like, is Deion a reach at LB10? You know, like, yes, he is. Like, it's time to move on for everybody. But, yeah, you're right.
Done with Deion. You don't believe in a, you don't believe, like, he could just need new scenery?
I think the new scenery would help him. That's the camp that I'm in. Like, I agree, for our dart throws, it would be fun if he moved on.
Yeah.
But I think it would be good for both sides. Like, clear the deck. Let the new linebacker... y'all are going to suck anyways, regardless of Deion's there.
What does Deion Jones being there help you
accomplish?
You're rolling
out Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, you're going to win like 3 or 4 games,
Cordarrelle Patterson.
See what you got in these young guys.
What are we doing, Atlanta?
Yeah, just... come on, figure it out.
They get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Drake London, that's fun.
Maybe Ritter something. Who knows?
I think Ritter sees the field before the end of the season. I really do.
Who's one of the little weird quarterbacks this year that you think could work out? You think Malik Willis long-term would be okay?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get some reps at the end of the season for Tennessee.
Hearing good things about Davis Mills.
Yeah, yeah.
Davis Mills has been getting a lot of buzz.
I like Zach Wilson take another step. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Trey Lance area. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Love that.
So...
do you see that Bill Barnwell was on the Athletic Football Show, said that Trey Lance is his number 2 pick for MVP right now?
Oh, my God.
Josh Allen's number 1. Trey Lance would be his number 2.
Yeah, I could easily see it. I mean, if he's really good, I mean, I'm surprised that San Fran didn't start him in the playoffs, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he was ready. You know, I feel like that would have been, no one would have been prepared for that or thinking that was going to happen. That could have been such a just a changeup. And hard to, no one game plan for it, and just unleash this guy. I wish they would have.
Even if it was in certain packages, maybe not the whole game, but they were laying out the 90th percentile kind of outcome for Trey Lance this season. And Bill Barnwell said it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Started the one game at the end of his rookie season and came in his second year fully formed. There was no need to try to figure out what Mahomes is going to be. He was that dude from the first game on.
Gosh, man, the pressure on Lance, though, it's kind of a golden era right now of some good quarterbacks. We're, blessed with Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert.
The new generation has come in and replaced, the Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees era pretty well.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a significant...
You said Drew Brees. Don't you ever do that again, Josh. Don't put him in the same category as Patrick Mahomes.
No, I'm saying Josh. He was the old generation that's gone now with Rivers and Big Ben gone now.
Brees was great.
I know Brees was good. I'm not going to say he's great.
Bobby, what the hell's wrong with you?
Drew Brees is Brady was great to me.
Hall of Famer.
Manning was great to me. Is he that good?
Brees, yeah. He's got
Brees
a Super Bowl.
Or Eli Manning?
Oh, Brees by a mile.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I didn't keep up with him as much.
He's pretty amazing.
Out there in LA.
Bobby has a weird blind spot. He's never watched a Saints game in his life.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I do like Brees. I like Brees a lot. But I'm just saying, Rivers. Who am I saying the whole time? Did I say Brees or Rivers?
You said Brees.
I meant Rivers. Rivers.
I was really worried. I was
sorry.
I think Bobby's having a stroke.
No, Brees is great.
Rivers is good.
Rivers is good, yeah.
He's solid.
Yeah.
But he's like...
a little overrated.
Yeah. He's kind of Joe Flacco-ish to me. So to ask that question again, Eli Manning or Rivers?
Boy, that's a good question.
Well, Manning has 2 rings.
Yeah.
But I
probably...
and
one over top of the undefeated Patriots.
I'd go Eli just for
Eli's
prime.
I think I'd go Rivers.
Okay. Just for Eli's prime.
That's cool.
So, that's the news, folks. And we're going to be bringing you all news the rest of this offseason because it's about to start coming fast and furious. But we're going to take a quick ad break. And when we come back, we are going to touch on...
I thought
you were
going to say, because it's about to start coming a flood. We got to get out of here.
The storm is about to break.
It really is.
Yeah. Every time we come into the Sode Check now, the thunder and lightning start acting up. Hopefully y'all's windows are rolled up.
Can we just do an ASMR pod for the rest of it? Just put the mic outside, Josh.
You just let it have the nice rain and the thunder off in the distance.
Put the listeners to sleep.
We're doing that anyway, Addy. But don't go anywhere, folks. On the other side, we'll be talking about some values and some stretches from the IDP-only best balls we've been doing. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. I've been running around with 2 left feet. You doing laps up in my mind, so it's
My mind's a mess, just like my desk, but I'm pushing through this week. My plate is full, stomach empty. Everybody around me gotta eat. I miss back home, it's been too long. Ain't seen my mama in weeks. Out on my own, but I know exactly where.
What's up, everybody? Josh here with the IDP Show. Now, if you've been listening to our show for any amount of time, you've probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where league members get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about, and the IDP Show is making it happen for listeners. We've partnered up with RSO to offer new members 10% off their annual site fee. Just use promo code IDPShow after your 14-day trial is complete. So, what are you waiting for? With RSO, you have free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Like we said, it's the closest thing you can get to being an NFL general manager. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Just remember to use the promo code IDPShow to get 10% off the site fee. Again, that's promo code IDPShow to get 10% off the site fee for your leagues in 2022. Fantasy just got real with Reality Sports Online.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alright, we're back with the IDP Show talking ADP from our IDP Only Best Balls. And gentlemen, we are looking at values and stretches. Players that are saying, yum, 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 give me all of that at their current ADP. And players that were saying, no, thank you, I will be going elsewhere for my IDP picks. And gentlemen, we're just going to kind of popcorn this. We've got a nice little list here of values and stretches. Who do y'all want to start with?
Before we start, let's talk about our credentials. Like, where did we get this ADP?
Well, that's a great question, Bobo. We've been running IDP only best balls on Sleeper all off season. So we've got six done. I'm going to try to get another four in to have a full 10 best balls. If you'd like to get into one of these best balls, just DM us at the IDP Show on Twitter. We'll get you in the next one. Should be launching here soon.
So these are like really like pretty accurate then.
Well, it's IDP only, so it's a pretty good representation of how the general public views these IDPs.
And we've had some really good drafters in here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had Macri, we've had Tooth, we've had Wollert, we've had Evan, we've had Johnny the Greek. Has Johnny the Greek done any of these?
Yeah, Johnny's done some. Tripp's done some as well. Some.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Kyle Belly.
This is just a weird time in the world to trust any type of facts you're getting, you know, especially on Twitter, you know, based on so-and-so's ADP or look at these stats that I've pulled up. Well, you know, first, let me fact-check you, you know. Who are you to tell me facts?
Thank you, Bobby, for credentialing us.
I trust
that
you,
was
Josh.
A nice
who
little segue.
Who the hell are you?
So we'll put this ADP out on Twitter as well so you guys can check it out for yourselves. Different lengths of drafts. So some of them are 250, some are 300, some are 300 plus. But we've just pulled out some of our favorite values and stretches here from this consensus ADP looking across these six drafts.
Before we start, because I've been wanting to know, I thought about it on the mower the other day, a little mower thought. The last time we potted was like June the 15th, and you had your linebacker heavy best ball league that you were getting into. How did the DBs pan out? Because you were like, you know what? I actually think I'm just going to grab a bunch of DBs late.
So that was the best ball number six.
Okay.
And I punted DB a little bit too late.
Okay.
We talked about this a little bit on the last show, but Nick Cross ended up being my DB1.
Okay.
I would have felt a little better if maybe he was in the mix as like, you know, DB2, 3, but the guys that I got above him, that's kind of the trade-off, right?
Sure.
It's like I'll punt this kind of position that is variable from one week to the next, a lot of cornerbacks mixed in, but I can give you the rundown here. So looks like let's go to draft results. But I know Nick Cross was in there. And let's see. I can find this real quick.
Sorry,
here.
Draft I put you on results. The spot,
no, it's Josh. Good. It's
I just
good.
Was thinking about it.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely went Nick Cross. But, well, my strategy in this one was went LB early. So TJ Watt, Logan Wilson, Devondre Campbell, Devin Lloyd, Von Miller sprinkled in. Von Miller there is kind of a dual designation guy. Then went DL heavy. Chris Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, Josh Sweat, Leonard Williams, Eric Armstead, J.J. Watt, Peyton Turner.
Nice.
Then mixed in a four-pack of rookie linebackers, Troy Anderson, Channing Tindall, Ernest Jones, and Chad Muma. But the DBs ended up grabbing Nick Cross, Eddie Jackson, Sidney Jones, Talanoa Hufanga, Marcus Williams, Ashton Davis, and Kareem Jackson.
Beautiful.
I basically did that in every single draft.
Yeah.
I feel the best. I will say I feel the best about this squad of the six drafts that we've done.
Yep.
So I really think even though you may not be crazy about your DBs, you'll end up with the strongest team overall if you go linebacker and DL. I mean, I didn't grab Nick Cross until the 17th round.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so one of my drafts, I went DB for the last seven picks. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Juan Thornhill, DJ Reed, Andre Sisco, Carlton Davis, James Bradbury, Talanoa Hufanga, Eric Stokes.
That's
how it ended.
Yeah, and did you feel good about that
felt
team?
Great.
Yeah.
Hufanga's a pretty pretty popular name right now.
He's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
And a lot of buzz.
He's free.
Yeah, he's free. I mean, he's going to be that starting.
Well, Jaquaski Tartt's out the door in Philadelphia now, so.
And we'll talk about some of the stretches, but especially the stretch from the DB category up high. Man, the trade-off is just not there, but we'll get to it.
I was going
to
say, let's touch on some of the guys that we've mentioned already. So, Nick Cross sitting as DB66, as we mentioned. That's tremendous value. Mm-hmm. Ernest Jones and Chad Muma still have great ADPs for the upside they represent, if for nothing else than injury insurance, right? Mm-hmm. So Ernest Jones sitting as LB45 consensus with Chad Muma as LB58.
I will say I feel like every time I get on Jags Twitter, it's like, Lawrence completes one over Foyer to Christian Kirk. Oh, Foyer gets burned in coverage there. It's like, ooh, it's
makes
not
me
a great
think
look,
of that comments you had of like the Jags brass sitting in the press box, like how hey, get the finance person in here. How quickly can we get out of Foyer's contract?
Bring Adam in here. How much did you pay him? Get him out. Him and Adam. Get him gone.
Multiple millions.
We told him that we knew that was going to be a deal that they were immediately looking to get out of. Two years, I think, is probably what.
Yeah, what it's not an out until after, I think, until after 2024, maybe after 2023.
I think Muma and Ernest Jones were both ones in the category that we gave several months ago about who could you be starting by week five. I don't remember what the exact name of it was that you came up with, but I think Jones is going to be necessary in exactly what we were talking about with Adam with Quay Walker, in that you're gonna look up and I think it could be like, wow, it's a two linebacker set this year in LA. But then with Muma, I really think they're gonna use Muma some. I think it's gonna be some Devin Lloyd Muma. Maybe Devin Lloyd has a little injury right now. I need to look it up. Maybe a hamstring. I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
So the reason that we highlight these linebackers and the reason that we're going to bring up N'Kobe Dean as a stretch pick at LB34 is because you look at where his fellow rookie linebackers are being drafted, and N'Kobe Dean just stands out, Addy, as an outlier because you got Troy Anderson, LB60, and then we mentioned Chad Muma at LB58, and then you look up 30 picks, and there's N'Kobe Dean. Yeah. And I see the same impediments to playing time with N'Kobe Dean that we see with Muma and Troy Anderson. So why is he going 25, 30 picks earlier than those guys?
Yeah, I know. That's a little bit of a stretch right there. And, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, season long. So, I mean, this is 2022, where I think Dean's kind of a 2023 type guy, right? Because there still is, you know, they brought in Kaiser White.
Yeah.
TJ Edwards is no slouch. I mean, it's going to be hard.
Those are going to be your starters.
I think so.
You know?
I think so.
July 31st, Devin Lloyd in pads and working with the trainer as he works his way back from a hamstring injury. And okay, that's from one of their, like, little beat writers. So,
but, you know, that's we've known that all along, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Chad Muma could be unbelievable if any type of injury happens to either one of those. I mean, I think he might be one of the best handcuff linebackers in the NFL now.
Mm-hmm. I will
and
say.
And eventually have his own, you know, he could easily.
Yep.
Push one of those other guys out the way.
Yep. Just leaves the foot in the door, you know, and slides right in.
So here's why I will say, I still think even at LB60, Troy Anderson is probably going a little too early because you look at the player who probably has a better shot at starting if Deion Jones is out of the way, if Deion Jones gets injured or doesn't see the field right away. Rashawn Evans, yeah. LB62. And then you look at tied for ADP, LB60, Josie Jewell is the starter for the Denver Broncos. Yep. Brought him back on a mega deal. The episode with Tripp and John, the most recent Big Nickel episode, really opened up my eyes to.
Adam put out a tweet long before that. I'm just saying.
So it was buried in my subconscious, and then they brought it to the forefront. But Josie Jewell, man, that's probably on this list the best value because you're looking at potentially a back-end LB2
yep.
there yeah. in Denver at LB60.
Yeah, I mean, he was solid last year. I mean, he only, you know, small sample size, but he was every time he's played, he's been solid, and he's been great for IDP, like a guy that's going to rack up tackles for you. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason for him to be really, you know, getting drafted outside of the top 30 linebackers.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to start seeing him tick up. I mean, there's been enough conversation about it. I'm sure every beat reporter, you know, 2 months ago was saying the same stuff, that Josie Jewell was going to be the one, and then we'll see what happens with probably Jonas Griffith and
Aaron Browning has officially, is officially edge now, so he's out of the mix, I think.
We were on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Jonas Griffith.
You got to stay locked in.
Yeah, we also have Justin Sternad there, I think, as well.
Yeah, but he's been pretty much a bum for IDP, like just has a hard time putting up stats, so.
Yeah.
I noticed stuff like that.
There's a lot of people not paying attention right now, too. Like, there's a lot of people in leagues that are not keeping an ear to training camp. And I'm not saying overreact to every little thing that you see on Twitter. But when
the narrative now is,
don't listen to any of it. Yeah. Oh, hype, it's hype train season.
Like, no, let's listen to some of it, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It matters.
Your job is to sort out and kind of suss out what matters and what is just fluff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all just trash. Mm-hmm. You just have to be sophisticated enough and read into the nuances enough to understand, does this actually move the needle?
And there are some beat reporters that have a better reputation than others.
That's right.
You know?
So a couple other linebackers here, Bobbo, that I'm like, I can't believe these guys are going this late. Cody Barton, LB44. You're telling me the guy stepping into that Bobby Wagner role opposite Jordan Brooks is at LB44. And then just as egregious, honestly, David Long. We mentioned him as a top 12 kind of dark horse at LB33. So what I'm getting here from this list is that the linebacker value late is still tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And these drafts span from basically right after the rookie draft season kind of ended to number 6 just ended yesterday.
Yep.
So we've got a good sampling here to say this is not all old draft data. This is not all new draft data. It's kind of a nice mix. And boy, I think those two dudes are going way too late.
In the same respect that you're talking about Josie Jewell being like the LB60 or whatever right now, who could be a back end LB2, same type situation with David Long being drafted as the LB33, who could be an LB1 this year.
Would you rather have Patrick Queen at LB18?
Nope.
Or Cody Barton and David Long at LB44 and 33.
Get past the names. That's the thing. Get past the names. Pat Queen, I get it. I was infatuated too. I've seen him play. Unless we have a monumental 180 in the 2022 with Pat Queen, I think it's still going to be much of the same for Pat Queen. But I agree. I understand what you're saying, but Josie Jewell just isn't that sexy, like, you know.
No, he's
sexy
not.
Sexy name. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ones that's like, just look at player A and player B and who's going to get you more points. Great, move on with that guy.
One more linebacker before we move on that I forgot to put in here, Zaven Collins. He's been linebacker like 23, 24. I mean, he's got league-winning potential.
Yep.
I mean, I know that, you know, bust last year for the most part, but I mean,
I'm surprised he's not higher in a best ball format like
this. He should be
like
much
this.
Higher. Yeah. But that's someone that could easily swing leagues this year.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're looking for.
Tell me, would you rather have Hassan Reddick at DL22 or Chandler Jones at DL24?
It's a no-brainer right there. Chandler Jones should be a top 15 pick. I think he is in our IDP kit, redraft-wise. Yes. I'm pretty sure he's top 12.
Yeah, as he should be.
Yeah.
Especially on sleeper, but right, you know.
Chandler Jones, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Zadarius all those
Smith.
Guys, Zadarius Smith, all of those types are great values.
Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb has a nice, you know, bounce back potential. Yep.
Let's go back to the linebacker well, because I have a quick question for you. Denzel Perryman is kind of hovering around LB like 30.
No.
Don't like it. Who? I mean, is he going to be the LB there?
I mean, there's Jaylon Brown there. Yeah. You got Divine Diablo maybe playing some of the box.
Yeah, I don't really like what's going on with the Las
they
Vegas.
They got a new coordinator, correct?
Yep.
I mean, just a lot of unknown, you know?
They're that one team that is just kind of, I don't really know if I want any of those.
I don't trust, I mean, that's you're having to pay a pretty, I mean, I know he was great last year, but I mean, I don't know if that role is going to be there for him this year.
Right around, let's just say, right around Perryman, you could have Jonathan Greenard.
You could have David Long. You could have
Jesse Bates, Jerome Baker, Minka Fitzpatrick. Yeah, give me all those guys over Denzel Perryman.
I think he's still coasting a little bit off of what happened last year.
He's one of those picks that gets made by people that haven't done a lot of research.
Yeah.
I think they're like, oh, they
stats 2021
and 100 and whatever.
Yeah, sort by points, and you're like, oh god, I need a linebacker. Yeah, Denzel Perryman, he's still there, right?
What's he still doing here?
And it's not to say that Denzel Perryman's a bad pick, but going where he's going, as we see here across these six drafts, it's too high when there's guys like
there's better values.
Cody Barton and David Long, and even some of these rookies, Ernest Jones, Chad Muma, again. With the kind of middle of the road linebacker or the sexy upside but potential bust kind of rookie or second year guys like Muma and Troy Anderson and Ernest Jones, I think I'd rather take the swing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we've been like, it's kind of like we talked about a while back. We've been down the road with these Tremaine Edmonds, and I know the coach McDermott can say anything. There's been a little bit of buzz about Tremaine Edmonds in camp. And it's just like, nope, I'm not doing that again. Y'all have fun.
So let me ask you this. I love these kind of either ors. These are nice. But before we get into that, two values from the same team. I don't know how these two guys are going so late, but Carl Lawson, I think, has just gotten looked over because of the injury.
Yeah.
We kind of got, not snake bit, because it wasn't like he got injured, you know, early on in the season. It happened in training camp. We had plenty of time to pivot, but DL52.
Yeah.
And then from the same defensive line, John Franklin Myers, DL84.
Yeah, it's great value on both those guys.
Great value. Kind of either or situation here, gentlemen. Would you rather have Taylor Rapp, DB30, or Jordan Whitehead at DB34?
No brainer. We know, I think I said Whitehead has like league winning potential. DB34, that's insane. And also a great reason to never, ever overdraft a safety. Like the Derwin,
Is it the Jerwin?
The Jerwin, sorry, the Jeremy Chin.
That would be a hell of a player right there if you merge those two
Derwin,
guys.
Jerwin.
No, Derwin, Jerwin. And then you have Brandon Jones right above Jordan Whitehead sitting at DB33. I mean, the DB values are just stupid.
It's dumb. You do have to know which ones to pick, though, right? I mean, it's we need to identify the ones that have the upside late. I mean, you can
– yeah.
There's a lot of good values late, but there's – some of these values are better than others.
Something you talked about last podcast too, Adam, made me think about Buda Baker, and you talked about Cam Akers hitting him, and that was like a really bad concussion. I think the same, and I think we talked about this a little bit earlier about Taylor Rapp. You know, Taylor Rapp was out a long time last year with a concussion. I think maybe into the offseason. Those kind of things linger, man. Like, those things do some stuff to me. Like, I don't know. I think about, like, Achilles – for running backs and even like defensive linemen sometimes. But then I think about like big concussions where they're out long times. Those things can linger.
And we should mention,
what do y'all think of the padded helmets we've been seeing in practice?
Yeah. The optics are not great. I understand what they're going for, but man, it looks really, really weird.
Also though, if it works, why don't they use them?
Well, here's what Robert Saleh said. He said, I understand what we're going for. It's to reduce concussions. It's to, you know, soften the kind of blows to the head. But then if players get used to using them and using their heads more because the blow isn't as substantial in season, they're going to use their heads more and just get their bell all sorts of rung in week one. You'll probably see an uptick in concussions from guys lowering the head more. So I don't know. I'll be curious to see, but... boy, it looks really weird right now. I'm not a fan of the optics of the little soft cushion on top of the helmet.
One, it reminds me of the NFL minis, where their head's way too big.
For sure.
But then the other thing is, I think the Rams did it last year because Stafford followed through into a offensive lineman's helmet last offseason and messed his finger up, and that's why the Rams put theirs on. That's why I thought, I didn't know it had anything to do with softening the head blows right now.
Yeah, you cannot look drippy in those things. That's a fact.
At all. And it's kind of interesting because it's like a helmet for your helmet.
Runs it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, your helmet's meant to protect your head. Yeah. So it's like, but what if we protect the helmet that protects the head?
We put a helmet.
Where does it end?
If it does work, I mean.
We're going to be wearing a second helmet at some point, which is the soft thing in between.
Yeah. It's just a huge
head. Yeah. Just a massive, space astronaut size helmet. But I wanted to bring up, too, if we're mentioning Taylor Rapp at DB30, we also have to mention Jayron Kearse at DB22. That was also one that stuck out to me as a little bit higher than it probably should be.
Honestly, Jayron Kearse is someone I've kind of risen on after putting together some of that research. That dude had 12 games over 10 points last year. That
look at you, Jayron.
That led the league for safeties.
Do you want to grab him at DB22, though?
I mean, at that point, that's not too terrible. I mean, I know there's guys that we like better, but I mean, if you are going to fade DB, I think that's a fine place to start.
It's a fine place to finally jump back in and be like, okay, I'm getting back into the DBs here.
Because, I mean, we don't like the linebacker situation. We've just talked about that earlier with Cox and LVE.
Nothing's changed.
Yucks.
Yeah.
Yucks. So, I mean.
Cox could be good.
Kearse could be really good again. I mean, last year he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple defensive tackle values here. We'd love to see Cam Hayward. DL32, and this is notable because you have Alex Highsmith over here at DL36, so you would think the gap between those two guys would be a little bigger than it is, considering how dominant Cam Hayward has been.
Yeah.
And then Ed Oliver, my God, the man's been unblockable, but he's going as DL73 right now.
These interior guys, I mean, you can just pretty much bank on them being, all of them being values pretty much on sleeper. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just kind of forget about them. They get, I think, just a little edge crazy. But yeah, some of these guys, I mean, Cam Hayward, I mean, he's discount Aaron Donald. I mean, he every single year.
Oh, I can't wait for that one to get parroted all over the freaking internet. It was great. DJ Keltown in one of these best balls put the nickname for Levante David as discount Bobby Wagner.
I love that.
That was great. So other values that we love. Addy, you wanted to bring up Seattle Seahawk here. That is a great value as a DL.
Yeah, and Uchenna Nwosu, DL58. I mean,
that's great value.
There's a good chance that he could be a big breakout this year. I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on his talent, but
I think Greg Rosenthal brought him up on the top IDP free agents episode. Right?
He's a dog.
Dog.
He's a dog.
Dog.
But DL58. I mean, that there's that's free. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. I mean, that's just a complete upside play.
Oh, and he's going to play a lot.
He's going to play a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be pretty good.
Because who along that line do we like better? Daryl Taylor?
Nah, not really. I like Chino way better. I mean, we like Boye Mafe. They both kind of remind me of each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's probably not ready yet.
And it was good. Ready. It was good to see them not bring Dunlap back because that's that many more snaps.
They could have. He was just sitting out there waiting to come back, right? And he played well for them down the stretch. Bobby, you wanted to bring up the aforementioned Green Bay Packers potential superstar breakout we're going to see here at DL15.
I just think that Rashawn Gary could maybe take that step into the Brian Burns-type category this year.
That's the name that was floating around in my head as well. It's like, what if we're about to see a Brian Burns-level turn from Rashawn Gary?
And really, Rashawn Gary's probably already there.
Yeah.
He might be better than Brian Burns.
You're right.
I mean, but the perception is not caught up.
The perception is not caught up to that yet.
Which is interesting, too, because...
It's Green Bay.
Yeah.
Right?
Big market.
Rashawn Gary was
Carolina.
Third in pressures last year in the NFL.
Wow.
And Brian Burns has never been a big pressure guy, which means that we know they're not real, but still.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you believe in that stuff, you're in that stuff.
Yeah. Pressures ain't real. The All-22 squad, captained by Adam Markham, coming to a league near you. I wanted to mention here, gentlemen, some of the reaches that we're seeing with DB. And this is not necessarily within their position group, because these guys, for instance, Derwin James, should be going as the DB1.
Yeah.
We're not arguing that. He is the DB1.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you see him going overall 13th off the board, Addy, that is a little bit rich.
That's tough.
Basically at the 1-2 turn in some of these 12-team leagues we're looking at.
Let me ask y'all a question. In Dynasty, is it time to trade Derwin James?
Yes, sir.
Joshua?
I mean, obviously, what can you get?
Yeah, that's...
Can you get a first?
Yo, if you can get a first, for sure.
You should be able to get a first. I mean, you're not selling. If you're not getting a first, you're not selling.
It's like AD. I have a hard time moving off like the king of that of their position for anything less than a king's ransom.
Derwin's not to AD level yet for me, at least.
I mean, no, not the tracker. I'm just saying at this current moment, those two dudes are king of the mountain.
AD's been the D tackle, or even in sleeper last year, he was like a top four defensive lineman. Derwin has not been that for that many years. I agree with what Derwin's doing now. I would hold the hell out, too, until they paid me, because I'd be like, look, man, look at my history. Like, I'm not doing anything until I, sign my contract. But I just think it's not necessarily that it's time. Like, I understand the infatuation with Derwin. Like, he's cool. He's drippy. He's really, really good. But that DB category is just always like, man, just sell them, because there's going to be more. There's going to be more come down the pipeline.
I kind of see it like bets. Tight end.
Yeah.
It's like Travis Kelce. I would just rather have the guy that is locked in as the top of that position, because the rest of it, yeah, there's some great value to be had.
But is he locked in? I mean, he last year he was, but he wasn't before that.
And that's injury. I think you
And he wasn't even the safety one last year. Was he like safety five?
But everyone carries injury risk, and the way he plays,
yeah,
I
it's
mean,
true.
You know what I mean, and he probably has a little bit higher than most people, just based
I'm
on
saying,
what we've seen.
If I get a great return,
right. Sure,
but I'm not shopping Derwin. Let me put it that way.
So
I'm not shopping him.
2 seconds.
No.
Someone offers you 2 seconds in 2023.
Because I'm thinking about a draft I just took today, my 204.
That could have been Kyle Hamilton this year.
Hamilton went at like 111, 112 in this draft. 204 and 205, I took Trayvon Walker and Johan Dotson. I'd rather have Derwin James.
Yeah, I think I'd have to have a first.
But that's now. But I mean, think like.
Now, if you start getting into that first category, let's say you got a first this year and you were able to turn that into a London, Burks, Olave, whatever.
I think I'd do that.
That's a type of category to where I'm starting to think, yeah, maybe I move him.
Seconds, though,
because what I think about, too, is what Macri did in the offseason in RSO with Micah Parsons. And he moved him for essentially
106, and
which turned into Jameson Williams, and then what could potentially be maybe the next Micah Parsons. Like, that's kind of hard to predict, but this is Macri's job. So, Macri's pretty good at, he's got a damn good team. He's got Kyle Duggar. He's got Christian Barmore. He's got Derwin James. Like, Macri knows what he's doing. So, like, I don't know. I don't want to give him too much freaking credit. We need to
I think you just essentially said we're paying him to be in our RSO league.
You bring him back down.
We are going to have to pay him to figure out the positional
change. Somebody say something bad about John
Process.
He doesn't like bacon.
Let's talk
Man.
That's true.
What a freak.
What a freak. Don't come to Kentucky until you get that bacon.
I don't think I got my whole thought out, Josh. What else was I saying?
I don't know. That's why I was trying to steer it back because I felt like you were winding down.
Something with Derwin. I don't know. I just that.
I think it's a good sell, but you want a first. You got to get a first.
Yes. If you can get a first.
Although I think the seconds aren't that bad. If they're early, I mean, if in IDP terms, you can get two elite studs with those.
The only problem is banking on the seconds being early, right? Because you could say, this team's going to be trash. This is for sure going to be like the 201 or the 20. You don't know.
And is it?
And if it backslides to like the 205, 206?
What if it was Kayvon and Quay Walker for Derwin James? What if you were able to get those two in the second? Is that enough for Derwin James?
Kayvon, Thibodeau, and
Quay Walker.
Oh, boy.
Gosh, I'm probably doing that.
I would do that, yeah.
That's what you're looking for, and that's what you're getting in the second.
What'd you do?
Every single year, you're getting pretty good value in the
second. So your minimum is like 2 seconds.
I think 2 seconds is in conversation. If I have an idea where the landing spots are, and if I think I can get, you know, maybe Devin Lloyd, maybe Kyle Hamilton, you know, multiple studs.
Sure.
It seems like the draft next year, too, is going to push some defensive talent later into the draft.
You'll get some studs in the second round.
Yeah. Because I don't want to just push Derwin James for Kyle Hamilton, just straight up.
No.
I want something else.
No. That's, yeah.
Let's go ahead before Josh goes crazy and move forward as well. What about Jeremy Chinn? What are you moving Jeremy Chinn for
at the overall 22nd? So going right around
for 2 seconds.
Yes.
Easily.
Anywhere in the second?
Pretty much.
Late second gets a little yuckier.
I'm probably not going to move for just a second, and I'll consider a second and a third, probably. But I don't think anyone's going to give you a first for him. He's just not special to me.
Wow.
I mean, he's 11 points per game last year. I think he had like 8 games under 10 points.
That's essentially what I've moved Jeremy Chinn for this year. I moved him for David Bell, which I got at like the 206 in RSO, and then Von Bell, who's maybe about a second value right now.
I just love that you did it for high. 2 Bells.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Double Bells.
Jeremy Chinn for Bell and Von Bell? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the question.
I'm infatuated with David Bell.
Here's the question, too. I think you're looking at overall 22. 4 picks later, you're talking about Isaiah Simmons at the overall 26.
Guys, what are we doing?
Who, we didn't even mention this in the news, is now playing the star role in Arizona, and Nick Vigil is the linebacker along. Are they going to bring back Jordan Hicks?
I took a lot of shit for Isaiah Simmons last year, but apparently the value is still fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
people still enjoy him.
He's still at 100.
I love that your phrase, enjoy him. Like, they're taking him out to lunch, and they just love his company.
Here's my thing. Could this be a good thing? I went back, and I looked at some of his old Clemson tape. I looked at some of his old highlights. I read some of his stuff. That was more his role. That was more kind of the roamer, safety, sometimes not necessarily in the slot.
Do you want a linebacker, though?
But here's the thing. What if Sleeper moves his designation to, like, a dual? Like, what if he plays enough
I'm interested.
In the DB category?
And here's another thing. Who's better at coverage, linebackers or secondary players?
Yep.
Secondary guys. Yep. I mean, you know, he's maybe trying to improve his coverage skills.
It makes the most sense for Arizona as a team to put him in coverage. I mean, like, football is football. Like, I know we want to talk about fantasy and IDP, but, like, if I'm Kingsbury, I'm putting him where he's covered. Literally, I read a tweet the other day where Andy Isabella is, like, stupid fast. And they were like, Isaiah Simmons is just stride for stride with this dude. Like, you can tell his speed is elite.
It just worries me because the star role really juiced a cornerback in Jalen Ramsey, but I just don't know if it
has
the same kind of illuminating effect for a linebacker like Isaiah Simmons. I kind of see this as a little bit of a damper. Unless you get the positional change. If he's got dual designation, DB eligibility, then I feel a lot better about it.
And it's just weird, too, because Nick Vigil is, like, not really special. But, hey, to each
They just
own.
Love these mediocre linebackers. They can stick in there alongside the, young stud linebacker.
But make no mistake, Zaven is really going to have to get after it this year or else
they're banking on Zaven, man. If you're moving Simmons, who was the full-time linebacker next to Hicks, out to the star role and bringing in Nick Vigil as kind of also ran, you're banking on Zaven. This is arrow up for Zaven. arrow down for Simmons and a huge arrow up for Nick Vigil.
Yeah.
What if he's 60 to 70% of what Jordan Hicks was last year?
I think Arizona's going to miss Chandler Jones this year. I think Chandler Jones was more influential last year than they really thought. It's going to be Marcus Golden and Dennis Gardeck season.
Yeah, I think they're going to miss a lot of guys off that team.
Yeah, it's not a
J.J. Watt is,
great team.
It's a weird older. Team. It's a very weird team.
They really need a lot of players to step up. I mean, but
They need Kyler to step up onto like a step stool so he can see the middle of the field.
The other weird is that Simmons isn't coming off the field, so it's like Simmons, Buddha, and Jalen Thompson are all staying out
there.
Yeah,
does this now hurt our DB infatuations there in Buddha and Jalen Thompson?
Just a lot of unknown. I think it's so much unknown that I think you should stay away at ADP.
Yeah, it's probably a good sell to sell all of these guys right now. If somebody is giving you more than you feel like they're worth, none of these guys I really recommend holding on to. Now, I'm going to hold on to Simmons just because I can't help it, but...
Yeah, it's in my heart.
Do what I say, not as I do.
What would you sell Simmons for if someone offers you a second?
He's like six firsts.
Probably. Not you. You're going to hold him. But if you had Simmons, would you sell him for a second?
Oh, yeah. 100%. This worries me, man.
You think you get more?
All they have done since he's gotten there has been like, where does this guy go? We don't really know. We took him in the first round, but we can't find a spot for him.
Yeah, I think you're selling a little low, though. You're selling a little low, though.
Second to third.
Even though all this stuff is probably just a distraction.
What's he worth? He's probably worth a second. What could you get for him? Probably a second plus.
Yeah.
Because people love, they seem to enjoy, as you like to say, Isaiah Simmons.
They do.
Well, then people don't forget stuff very quickly. And those drippy names with high draft capital, those guys, even Clelin Ferrell, like he was trash. And even a couple years in, people were like, maybe he turns it around. Yeah.
Third year.
He's going to be playing in the USFL next spring, folks. You heard it here first. Well, there you go. Some ADPs from our best ball drafts.
Probably release those for y'all to take a look at.
Yeah, so you can kind of see where some of the values are. And it's also really fun to see, like, just search a player's name and look at how the, like, look at Nick Cross's ADP. Like, I think about number three is where he retired because I had just taken him in one of those drafts and the news broke like a day later. So look and search for some of the players' names that maybe are getting some buzz and see if they've started to jump up. And again, if you want to get in the next best ball draft, hit us up at the IDP show on Twitter. We'll get you in the next one. It's $5.
$5.
And you're done. There's no in-season management, nothing. Draft and done. Most total points after week 18 wins. We will have to put on a timer for these next ones because otherwise we ain't getting them done before the season starts. These things are taking about 5 to 6 weeks to get finished. So
set your cues.
Set your cues, fellas. But, boys, this was fun. It has been way too long since we got on mic, and appreciate y'all doing a little Monday show before I head down to the great state of Texas for this week.
Hey, wouldn't have missed it.
Go see some armadillos.
That's top of the list, Bobo. How'd you know?
A couple
of
chupacabras.
Maybe. Who knows?
You going to Austin?
Going to Austin. It's so quirky and weird there.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait. I'm going to get my nose pierced and get a mohawk.
Dude, you should. That'd be hot.
That'd be a good look. I probably could salvage what's going on up top with the lettuce right now.
Would you get the AK bull nose or just the little cute
one? Getting a giant hoop earring that like I can stick my tongue through. That's what I want right now.
Gun to your head, you got to pierce something. Is that what you're piercing? You're piercing your nose?
Whatever would be the least painful thing to pierce.
You know, it would be real painful.
Your nipples?
My nipples. Why'd you say that so sexually? It is hot. We're way too sweaty. We're way too sweaty.
I would be honored to be able to pierce your freaking nipples. That'd be something fun we could do.
That would be something fun we could do, folks. And with that, we're going to get the hell out of here before things, needles start going in nipples.
We've been looking for fun stuff to do.
Stay tuned to the feed. We got John Macri and Justin Varnes coming up later this week. You do not want to miss that episode. And we'll be back next week talking trades, talking all 22. You don't want to miss it. But until next week, y'all take care. We'll see you soon.
She ain't never left her hometown. We gon' take a trip today. Let me take you away. We can take a trip to the West Coast.